Hey there, this is Sports Fellowship with Fox and Frank. This is season number 2, episode number 30. I'm Dan Fox.
And I'm Frank Knight.
Hey Frank, how are you?
Wonderful.
That's great. You have a good week?
Good week.
I'm glad.
Yep.
Also joining us again was last week's host, who did a fantastic job, and our dear friend, Jason, a.k.a. Hooky.
The man.
The myth.
The legend.
The people's podcaster, the voice of reason, the doctor.
That's right.
He's joining us. How you doing, Hook?
Fine, Dan.
That's good. Did you have a good week?
It was fine, Dan.
Okay. All right. Also, pushing the buttons and sliding the slides to make us sound great is our ever-present sound man, Rich Vassallo.
What's up, Dan?
Not much. What's up with you, Rich?
Hi, Rich.
What's up, Frank?
How's your bracket looking, Rich?
Ouch.
Bracket is horrible.
My bracket blew up really hardcore, so I've got no room to talk.
I think you're one below me.
Well, we're close. We're close.
I feel like I'm in the hunt.
Of the four of us, yes.
Come on. I've got three of my final four alive.
Well, we'll talk more about our bracketology and our bracket challenge a little later.
Sounds good.
So a little roadmap of where we're going tonight. I'd like to talk briefly about Major League Baseball opening day is going to happen this coming week. All the teams will be playing as of this coming Thursday. So that's pretty exciting. I'm stoked about that. The NHL, I have a one-line comment on my NHL fandom right now. And then we'd like to talk about the NCAA Sweet 16. Then the NBA trade deadline just happened. And then let's talk some NFL draft.
Let's.
I am really stoked and fired up. The NFL draft is one of the best three-day experiences of my year. I look forward to it all year.
I've seen The Notebook.
Yes, The Notebook and the magazine are very near and dear to my heart. I was just discussing with a friend earlier today about when I'm going to be able to get my hands on The Notebook and be able to start poring over that and going over that information, and I can't wait. So, yeah. So that's where we're heading tonight and where we're going. So let's start off with some Major League Baseball. Hook, what's your takes on opening day coming up?
Well, just found out about it.
happening Thursday.
Well, I bet. It's supposed to rain Thursday.
Well, your Yankees open up at home against the Toronto Blue Jays.
Good matchup.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that'll be, if it doesn't rain, right?
Yeah, it'll be the Yankees versus the sons of the major leaguers.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because the Toronto Blue Jays have like five sons of major leaguers on their roster.
They do indeed.
Aren't they also major leaguers?
They are, but, you know.
Their dads were, anyway.
Their dads, each of them were multiple all-stars.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you're going for those bloodlines.
But they're all, like, old enough, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all, you know, well over 18.
It's not like a five-year-old out
there. No.
Shagging flies.
That wouldn't be fair. No. With the Yankees being what they
are.
It
would be hard to strike them out, though. They'd have a little strike zone.
Yeah.
So,
who knows?
Do you think they'd let him have one of those red fat bats? You know, okay. Frank, the New York Metropolitan.
Hashtag LGM.
Tell me about your excitement.
Me?
Do you have any opening day rituals or anything?
Well, just to watch it, you know, okay. I pretty much watch every Mets game.
The Mets open up at the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, and we talked about, I'm a little higher on the Nationals than you are, but as for the Mets, they did lose a starting pitcher, Carrasco, and so I'm wondering about their rotation. But my bigger concern for the Mets in terms of negativity, if I was going to have any, would be their bullpen. I want to see how they do closing games. I think that they're a much better team than they were last year, so I'm excited for the season.
Okay. The Atlanta Braves open up at Philadelphia, which I don't really understand. You'd think that with the situation with the weather being better in Georgia than it would be in Pennsylvania, that you'd want to start off in a warmer weather climate and stuff, but they're not. They're starting off in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
In South Philly down there at Citizens Bank Park.
It might rain.
It very well could rain. Yeah. You're really big into the rain here now.
I'm just letting you know.
It was all that rain we got the other day, did that like leave a scar on you?
No, I'm just saying they're calling for rain next Thursday.
Okay. So
a little early to call Thursday, I think.
It's like 62%.
I have 50% rain, but anyway.
Coin flip.
You can play in the rain in baseball.
Yes, you can. It is very
possible. Especially with the fields being able to drain the water better these days.
Yes. For Philadelphia, the big concern is center field. They have no one that has really seized that job. They've had a bunch of candidates in, and they either keep getting hurt or not showing anything on the field. So they've had a revolving door all spring at center field. So it's going to be very interesting to see.
They could try to get a son of a major leaguer.
They could.
In there.
I heard some discussion on the local Fox station today where a guy was being interviewed about the Phillies, and he said, oh, you know, if everything were to roll out right, I think they could compete for the division. And I'm thinking, that's true with every team.
Right. It's too many things would have to break absolutely perfectly for the Phillies to be actual contenders.
I think it's a pipe dream for that to happen.
I wholeheartedly
But they could
agree.
Compete for a wild card, no question.
What's a pipe dream, Frank?
It's a dream about pipes.
Oh, okay.
You never had one?
Plumbers? It's a dream that's so mystical, Hook, that it could go up in smoke very quickly and go up the pipe and be gone.
There you go.
Like a chimney pipe.
Oh.
So it's a pipe dream.
Sounds good. I like that. We're going with that.
Yeah. So
really what it is an expression is what it is. So
what does it express?
It's a
saying. Phillies' chances of actually being able to compete.
Yeah.
That's what it expresses in this case because they have none. So
you have little faith.
Hook, what are your expectations for the Yanks? Any concerns?
I think they'll go and defeat it.
There you go.
In the first game?
162-0.
Roughly, yes.
Okay. No team has ever won more than 112 games in a season. Which means that the very best team in all of Major League Baseball is going to lose at least 50 games. And the very worst team in all of Major League Baseball is going to win at least 50 games.
Hmm.
That's a little sobering to think about.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were drinking, Dan.
That's root beer, Hook.
Can I chime in on the Yankees?
Sure.
We'll allow it.
It all comes down to health for them. We know that they're loaded. So if they stay healthy, no reason they don't win the division and even be a favorite to go to the World Series. Period.
Yeah, but it's a little more than just a passing comment in terms of health with them, since they're two big hitters. They're two big sticks in the middle of the lineup. Can't seem to stay healthy, and especially not at the same time.
Right, but that's the point. You know, they're the perennial favorites outside of injuries. So now you could say that about a lot of teams, but you know, like you said, since it's been their history lately, you know, you wonder, will the key guys stay healthy? But they have so much depth too that they're always going to compete.
Did you guys think it was interesting to come to find out that LeBron James and his agent both bought shares of the Boston Red Sox?
Sure.
LeBron has come out quite often as a very outspoken Yankees fan.
Hmm.
And here he and his agent bought into the Boston Red Sox.
Now it's even more interesting because I did not know that.
Yeah.
So I'm finding more and more reasons not to like LeBron James.
Well, I just thought it was a little ironic that he's been a big Yankees fan for so long. I'm not putting him down for it. If you have a business opportunity, and that seems to be a wonderful business to buy into.
It's his money.
Right.
I still remember, now it's been a long time, you know, don't get me wrong, but it's still stuck in my craw, the time that he left Cleveland and went to Miami, and we all had to stay genuflect waiting for him to tell us where he was going.
He's going to take his talents to South Beach.
That really rubbed me the wrong way. And then ever since then, like, the way he comes across a lot of times, I find annoying. But, you know, good for him. He's got the money. Let him spend it the way he wants to.
Sure. All right, NHL. Hook, do you have any thoughts there on that?
They're still playing, right?
Yeah.
The hockey.
Yeah, hockey. NHL hockey. Go ahead, Frank. Take your victory lap.
So, you know, I mean, between me and you here, I kind of got the Rangers have a little bit of a head, what do they call it?
head of steam.
Not a heads up, but
they've got a head of steam.
A one up on you guys, because the last two games were 9-0 and 7-3. So in the last two games, the Rangers beat the Flyers combined 16-3. So there's something going on there between them. The Flyers last night going into the game were 2 points ahead of the Rangers, clearly playing better. But I think the Rangers are starting to get it together now, Dan, and they're only 4 out of a playoff spot now, 4 points. I am feeling the Rangers right now.
The Flyers are in complete free fall after our GM just came out and had this big press conference about accountability and bringing everyone together and everyone doing kind of a do your job speech, mm-hmm. like Bill Belichick is known for. And then they go out and lay that egg that they had last night. And the Flyers are in free fall. So my interest in hockey will begin slowly but surely taking a large step back.
I mean, just from watching the game, Dan, the last two games against the Flyers, the Rangers are playing a much more crisp hockey. They seem to be, as a team, really in unison, whereas before it seemed like they couldn't really get it all together. So that plays a role is all I'm saying. The Rangers might have finally playing on a level I expected, but the kind of scores that happen in these games is over the top.
I think it's the Flyers personally. I'm not trying to take anything away from the Rangers because they definitely have taken advantage.
You're saying put the two together essentially.
Yeah, they've put the numbers and they've put the shots in the net. But the Rangers haven't been doing that to anybody else. And
I agree, fair enough.
And the Flyers lost a really important.
I don't know about anybody else, but.
When's the last time they scored
not
seven
those
and nine
Right, not
games,
those kind of scores. Goals. I got you.
So
I meant the level of play.
The Flyers had a really good defenseman, one of the best two-way defensemen in hockey. Last season they acquired him from the Washington Capitals, and he was really the leader of their defense. Really was he was a Stanley Cup champion, and he decided to retire this offseason. And walk away, and all power to him. He played like 13 NHL seasons, so when you want to hang him up, hang him up. I have no qualms or blame for him whatsoever, but the Flyers have tried to put chicken wire and duct tape to fill that role, and they are just astoundingly in need of a number one defenseman.
Yeah, and defense in general, they just were pathetic in those two games. You know, the Rangers were having their way offensively, so...
Sure, and the Rangers are a good team. They've got a lot of really talented, extremely talented young players,
especially offensive.
So, you know, I'm not by any means trying to belittle them, but
yeah, we'll see what happens.
You know, the Flyers stink. The Flyers,
like you say, they got to prove it against the upper echelon teams. And so I feel like they can compete. So we'll see.
Yes. All right, NBA trade deadline happened the other day. The trade deadline came and went. Not a whole lot of big names moving. The Sixers pulled off a trade, but they got a 31-year-old point guard who's on the back end of his career for two players I've never heard of that somehow are on their roster and like 3 second-round picks. So it really wasn't a big deal. The main two players that moved were Victor Oladipo.
There it is.
Victor Oladipo. Went from the Houston Rockets to the Miami Heat a few years ago when he was on the Indiana Pacers. He really came up and showed himself to be a pretty good player. And he carried that team to the playoffs, especially when they traded playoff B.
And the Heat made a big run last year, right, in the playoffs.
The Heat did, yes.
So might be some significance.
No, Paul Pierce is working for ESPN doing TV.
Okay.
Why are you looking at me like that? Paul George is who I was thinking of. When Paul George was traded from Indianapolis, Victor Oladipo carried that team, and they were
Indianapolis has a team.
Indianapolis, yes, the Pacers.
I thought
Indiana, right?
Okay, they play in Indianapolis,
right? Mm. But they don't call them anyway.
Anyway, so
they don't
the okay. I don't want to hear anything when I correct you guys for your grammar and stuff. Nikola Vucevic is an all-star center who moved from the Orlando Magic to the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls have had very low expectations. So all year, and they have been playing to those low expectations. They haven't really been doing much. This has got to be a trade for more than just this year. They saw an opportunity to get an anchor for their, especially defensively, and they jumped at it. I think they're looking at making their team better for the next few years by trading for Nikola Vucevic.
Okay.
Frank, Rich, what's your take on Nikola Vucevic?
Cool name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds very Irish.
Take a guess what country he's from.
Poland?
That's a good guess, but he's from Serbia.
You were so close.
So
they're right next to each other. So
no, they are not.
I have no idea where either of them are on the map.
No, they are not right next to each other, Hook. Hook, any thoughts about the NBA and NBA trade deadline? LeBron James.
Well, you didn't talk about the biggest move.
Go ahead.
J.J. Redick.
Yeah, J.J. Redick did get traded. Tell us about it, Hook.
He was on one team, and they moved him to another team.
Actually, they moved more. J.J. Redick's contract moved really more than he, because he hasn't really been playing all year because he's pretty old and pretty
dumb. Dan once named his dog after J.J. Redick.
I did not.
That's how big
of a Hook is. Hook is a huge Duke Blue Devils fan, and his favorite Dukie of all time is J.J. Redick.
That's debatable.
So he just loves himself some J.J. Redick.
Dan, you named your dog after him.
I did not. The dog.
Did
was
you or
named.
Did you not have a dog named JJ?
The dog was already named JJ when I
did
took
that dog
love
basketball.
No, he did not. And he loved chasing and killing
and make
squirrels.
A lot of threes.
He loved. Though it was not Air Bud. He loved chasing and killing squirrels.
I have
he
a
did
feeling my dog will do the same.
So yeah, JJ Redick did move, but the big news right now is that LeBron James has a high ankle sprain and is missing somewhere in the neighborhood of two to three weeks minimum. And so without Anthony Davis on that team, and now without LeBron as well, they've lost five in a row. Mm-hmm. So you wonder about playoff, whether these guys are going to be full strength and full go for the playoffs. You know, they're the defending champions, so.
Yep.
Hook?
Hoping not.
Yeah, I'm not a Lakers fan.
Okay, well, on that note, Frank, we'd like to transition.
I can't talk about my Knicks?
Oh, go for it. Nick us up.
So, you know, not that I follow it closely, but I will get more interested should the Knicks get more competitive. And they are competitive at the moment, 500 kind of competitive.
At the trade deadline, the Knicks did pick up a couple first-round picks and a young center.
Yeah. Well, the thing about them that they didn't do was more significant, was they didn't trade away assets to get a big player like a Lonzo Ball or somebody like that. And Lonzo Ball might be available. Well, he's going to be a restricted free agent. So if the Knicks are going to ever become something decent, they need to continue to build. So I might find some interest in basketball if the Knicks can, you know, build a team. So I'm happy that they didn't do anything major, because it would have just torn their team apart instead of getting better.
The Knicks currently sit in the 5 seed heading into the playoffs.
And that's kind of insignificant to me. But
Well, the top 8 make it. So
I'm just saying they're going nowhere, you know. But it would be a step, right? So, but they're not quite the team they need to be yet, and I know that.
Sure. Well, usually a team needs to get a taste of the playoffs before they really can start gearing up for the playoffs. So that would be a positive step for them if they're able to do that.
Considering the disastrous years they've had for so long.
Sure. So now we're going to transition, and I'm going to turn it over to my friend Frank.
Okay, when we transition, what do we talk about?
Fox Brothers Alarms.
I don't have the paper in front of me. It was taken away from me. Yeah, Fox Brothers Alarms. We just want to let you know about Fox Brothers Alarms. They've been in business for 38 years. 48 years. See, when I don't have the paper, what happens? And they're a family-owned business. Make a little more noise over there, Dan.
I was ruffling a paper because you were talking about paper.
They've been in business for 48 years. They're a family-owned business, and they do burglar and fire alarms. So for all your burglar and fire alarm needs, you want to go to www.foxbrothersalarms.com. www.foxbrothersalarms.com. Or you can get on the phone, you can call 1-800-FOX-BROS, B-R-O-S, 1-800-FOX-BROS. And when you call that number, you want to ask for whom?
Mark.
Ask for Mark. That would be Dan's beautiful brother.
It's all relative.
It's important to...
He's my relative.
It's important to protect your home and maybe your business against fire or theft. So give them a call or shoot them an email. Also, we want to let you know about us being on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. Facebook page, all you got to do is go on Facebook, assuming you have an account, and you punch in the name of the show, Sports Fellowship with Fox and Frank, and voila, it shows up. You'll see our page. In fact, Dan's beautiful picture is there, the first thing you see. Everything about the show is on the Facebook page, including the podcasts themselves, so come check us out. Now, you want me to talk about the email, right? All right, so the show has an email, and it's sportswithfoxandfrank@gmail.com. That's sportswithfoxandfrank@gmail.com. We are hoping that you'll go to the email and send us some kind of message. Maybe you want to ask a question. Maybe you want to shoot some opinions about the show, and we'll happily read it on the podcast. Rich, any emails this week, like from your sister, for instance?
No emails this week.
Okay, so no emails, Dan. Sorry. And
stop giving me that eye, okay?
That's the transition. That's what I got for you, Dan. Check us out on email or Facebook or call for alarms or whatever you need to do.
All right.
I'm stalling as Dan digs his papers out.
We had a total of 57 people join the Sports Fellowship with Fox and Frank.
Holy cow.
Bracket challenge.
Yeah.
Including some of my colleagues at school. Including some of my students. They wanted to join the bracket challenge as well.
Awesome.
Sponsored by Fox Brothers Alarms.
How's Hookie's bracket doing?
Hasn't got a single one wrong.
Hasn't got a single one right.
Right. Okay.
The best in the Vassallo household is none other than Noah. Noah has 20 wrong so far.
Okay.
His whole final four is still alive.
Nice.
But the very best... let's go in ascending order. We have a number of people at 20 wrong. We have a total of 1, 2...
Out of how many games, Dan, there?
There's been 68 teams, so there was 2 games there, and then they're down from 64 to 16.
Mm-hmm.
So there was 32 games in the first round, and then 16 games... So 32 and 16 is 48. Yeah. So there's been 50 games.
Okay. That's pretty good, 20 wrong out of 50.
The Noah, Tyler Merrick.
Who's that?
He used to be one of our FCA students, and he's now a teacher at
one
the middle
of
school. Then one of my students, Zach.
Who's that?
Andrew, another one of my students. Dave Baum.
Dave Baum.
Who's that?
He's a science teacher. He's a seventh grade science teacher at my school. He actually was one of the people who participated in our survivor pool in the fall.
I thought the name was familiar. Because I think I used to go, Dave Baum, when you said it.
Yeah, so there were four people that had 20 or so picks incorrect.
Okay.
So those people are Tyler Merrick, Zach, Dave, and Andrew and Noah, and then the number one person, is a little blonde haired girl that is the person that filled out the bracket for Renee Althaus. Renee Althaus is an eighth grade English teacher, one of my dear friends at school, and Renee had her little daughter Madison fill out the bracket for her.
Madison.
And Madison only has 18 wrong.
I am rooting for Madison.
So she only has 18 wrong. She has her entire final four. Oh, wait, no, her entire final four is not alive. She has three of the four still alive.
So do I.
So, you know, hopefully Madison will be able to pull this out and make this happen. Rich, why are you so interested in this all of a sudden?
Because my son is in it.
He keeps leaning over like there's going to be some sort of like... He's going to be able to check his son's versus Madison's and stuff.
Well, I think Rich is aware that you cheat at stuff like this.
There might have been something in his chicken and rice, maybe, that makes him act funny.
So
what was that?
The accusation is being levied at me that I cheated Noah Vassallo in favor of Madison.
All because he hasn't repaired the tablet.
Dan, how many did I have
wrong?
You
marked a few extra off.
Curious.
If you look, there's one that he almost marked off, but he didn't mark it.
This is how he grades tests too, people. Just so you know.
That's why I was showing you it. So I want you to see what he did.
He's red pen happy.
Good for little Madison. What is your problem?
Listen, students there at the Easton Middle School, when you get your test back from Dan, make sure the questions he marked wrong are actually wrong. Because he'll just mark anything off.
Getting pretty low on that list there.
There's probably some of you who is taking this class for the second time now because he failed you and you have
all the answers. Wait, I failed them?
That ruffling you're hearing is Dan going way down the bottom where my sheet is, which is not a good thing.
Ray, Rowan,
holy
Alexa.
Am I that bad? I got 3 of my 4 alive.
Why does it look like somebody stepped on that one?
Bryce, Brax.
Ouch.
Grandma Joyce got 36 wrong.
Oh, I'm worse than that.
Agata got 26 wrong.
Okay.
So they're not
Brandon got 30 wrong. Aaron got 23. He's doing pretty well.
Not bad.
Allie got 23, and she was very pregnant at the
time. That's right.
Was she?
Shauna.
Plus, she doesn't follow.
I thought you had to help.
I thought you had the baby at that point.
Hey, Grabby McGrabberson over there.
What's up with you, Rich?
I was trying to help him.
Visitor got
is
20,
it a little
Frank,
strange?
27. Okay.
27.
Is it a little strange how overprotective he's being of these?
Yeah.
Like he doesn't want people to see something.
Usually he'll let me help him, but he doesn't let me help him this time.
Dan is of the highest standards. Stop.
Wow.
Highest integrity. Dan, wow. I've got your back, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad someone does.
And I didn't get all the emails for those. You know that, right?
Because I went around school passing out bracket sheets and telling people to put them in my mailbox.
So how are we supposed to know they're all on time?
Because you trust Dan.
Because they
he's your
turned
friend.
Them into my mailbox by the time they were due, and I didn't accept any after they were due.
Oh. Yeah. Stop the count.
Stop the count.
You forgot about Hookie's bracket, which is in his head.
And I haven't got a single one wrong.
Not one wrong.
That's true. He hasn't gotten anything wrong.
And it's always on time.
Right. So there have been a lot of upsets and a lot of very interesting games and teams. I would have never thought that Creighton would have made it as far as they have. I would have never thought that Creighton would win 2 games or Oral Roberts would win 2 games in the NCAA tournament. So that's really exciting. Some blue blood teams went out, like North Carolina. And others, Villanova hung on in the first round.
Rich.
And then played really well in the second round.
Where is Villanova? What city is Villanova University in?
Philadelphia.
You only got that because Dan, who cheats at everything, mouthed.
Did you tell him?
I did.
Oh, man.
This is a perfect example for you listeners.
I wanted to see if he catch on.
Cheats.
Let's see if he catch on to Philadelphia Freedom or not, because remember last week.
Yeah. So, where's Gonzaga?
In the United States of America, Dan.
I was asking that too. It seems like nobody knows
that. What state is it in?
The United States of America, Dan. The United States. We're all one state.
I know where it is.
Where is it?
It's in Washington State.
It is in Washington State. It is in the city of Spokane.
That's right.
Spokane, Washington is where
I just happen to have a granddaughter.
This
who works
is
there.
Who Dan projects to be the second greatest team of all time.
If they win it out. I didn't say
those
they
things
were.
Are always subjective.
I said they're going
they
to be
they wouldn't
considered.
Play anybody, but would be the second greatest team of all time.
I said there would be considered. I didn't say they were.
Subjective stuff.
Playback.
So. They'd be undefeated, so.
Okay, so anybody have any teams that they're really excited to watch? Games this week are Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Last weekend they were Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. This week they are Saturday, Sunday. We'll get down to the Elite Eight, and then Monday, Tuesday, we'll get down to the Final Four.
I just kind of get into it and, watch a game. Now, how I always do these things, especially when I don't know much about it because I don't follow it closely, is I pick a team when the game comes on, and I start rooting for them, and I just kind of hope for a good game. So
a big celebrity that's come out of this one so far is Buddy Boeheim. Buddy Boeheim up there at Syracuse, the coach's son, shooting the lights out up there, and was told his father was told that
so they have to play in the dark.
his father was told that he was not, that his son was not a Syracuse quality athlete and should not be on the team. And here he has proved everyone wrong. And they started out as an 11 seed, and they've beaten two teams that most people had projected, myself included, to beat them.
When is the final played?
Next, not this coming Sunday, but Sunday a week.
I mean, 2 weeks. Underdogs are always fun. So
good math, Rich.
Syracuse wasn't projected to do much at all, right? So
correct.
Yeah, so it'd be kind of cool to see them go deep in the tournament.
Well, they're already, you know.
I mean, 16. Like Final Four, you know. So
why did I hear like Rutgers was an upset?
Rutgers did upset in the first round. Mm-hmm. They played very well and they won in the first round.
Yeah.
They played their basketball, Clemson.
Their basketball team's better than their football team.
They beat Clemson.
They beat Clemson. And, yeah. And some of them, how did they rank them again? What do they call them?
The seeds.
Ranking? Seeds. Oh, okay.
Mm. The seeding.
It's like grass seed.
Anybody think that Loyola Chicago is going to the Final Four? I've heard that from a number of talking heads.
Don't know enough about it.
Loyola Chicago came out and won in the first round. They beat a team with a better seed than them, and then they went up against mighty Illinois, mm-hmm. who they've actually tried to schedule in the regular season for the last few years, and Illinois won't schedule them, and they systematically dismantled the number two overall seed in the tournament, the Illinois Fighting Illini, much to Pastor Tim Pine's dismay,
yeah.
Loyola Chicago took them systematically without ever trailing in the game, took them out and just destroyed them.
That would make them the surprise team in the tournament so far, I take it.
Well, I think that Syracuse is very much, you have to say that Oral Roberts is the surprise of the tournament, winning two games as a number 15 seed. So
that is impressive.
So 15 seed is...
16 is the worst you can be. And there are 15.
And they're still in?
And they're still in.
Yeah. Only one time has a 16 seed beat a 1 seed in the tournament.
Well, two times it happened this year.
I thought it was once.
It had happened one time before this year, and it happened this year.
Okay. My bad.
No, you're fine.
Who beat who? What's 16 beat a 1 this year? It's funny, it didn't get as much fanfare this year.
Let me see.
Are you looking at Noah's?
Sure. Oh, no, I'm incorrect. The number 2 seed, Ohio State, was the number 2 seed, lost to Oral Roberts.
So it's only happened once, right?
Right.
And trying to give Rich perspective that a 15 beating a 2 is also not very common.
It's only happened 3 times in the history of the tournament.
So typically the big favorite wins.
Did it happen this year at all?
It did. Oral Roberts took out Ohio State.
Ohio State.
Yeah.
But they're out now, right?
No.
Okay.
And they're still in?
Yes. They're playing.
Well, that would be the opposite.
Saturday. They're playing Saturday at 7:25 on TBS. Right. They're playing the Arkansas Razorbacks, the number 3 seed Arkansas Razorbacks.
Okay. I just look forward to the games, and I love the drama and all that stuff. So.
Did they outplay them, or was it just they were playing bad?
No, they shot lights out from 3-point land. The three point line is the ultimate equalizer in basketball.
I think about the women's tournament's going on now too, and it's kind of funny. We all know UConn's going to win like always, right? So
well,
it's a little different in the women's. Pretty much
UConn hasn't won the national championship in 4 years.
Really, that long?
Yeah. So, you know, there have been some other teams, and for most of this year, UConn was not ranked number one. Now, they did seize it, and they've held on to
it. Probably because I watched too much New York sports.
But if they haven't won in 4 years, that means they have all new players, right?
True.
So
good math, Rich.
Why would you expect them to win if they don't have
For
the same
a while,
players?
They were dominant. Like, they would never
win. That's because they have the same conference
Rich, the
players
UConn,
all the time.
The UConn
no,
Lady
I'm talking
Huskies.
About years and years. Mm.
The UConn Lady Huskies, for from the late 1990s all the way through the 2000 teens, were pretty much the dominant team in women's college basketball.
It was unreal. I mean, they just couldn't be beat in the tournament.
What's changed?
Well, they have not had the recruiting success that they had enjoyed in the past. They
didn't realize it's been that long since they won.
They used to just dominate recruiting for ladies basketball.
Yeah, they have a legendary coach in the whole nine. So, anyway.
Yeah. All right, yeah, so
I'm going to look forward to watching some games.
Now, let's get excited. Let's talk about a draft.
Okay.
All right, so I have a mock draft here in front of me.
I try not to mock it.
Before we get into the particulars of the mock draft, we have a trade, two actual trades to talk about. Hook, would you please fill us in on what you know about what happened today trade-wise?
Well, I think today Dan's card says, big trade. Miami from -3 to -12.
That's number. Number, they moved from the Miami Dolphins held the number 3 overall pick in the first round, and they moved from number 3 back to number 12.
That's right.
So go ahead, Hoog.
Miami gets 2020 #1, right? #1.
Is it 2020?
It's gotta be 2022.
Yeah.
#1.
Right.
2023 #1. 2022 third rounder 49ers.
Right, the 49ers held the #12 pick in the first round, and the Miami Dolphins moved from the #3 overall pick back to #12, and as compensation for making that move, they received 2 future #1s. The first round pick for the San Francisco 49ers in 2022 and 2023, and they got a third round pick this year for their trouble. And then the 49ers go from #12 to #3 of the draft. And then Miami turned around and flipped the #12 pick to the Philadelphia Eagles and moved back into the top 10 and up to the #6 pick where the Eagles were. And Philadelphia gets the #12 pick, the #123, basically a fourth round pick. They got the Eagles got the #12 overall in the first round, a fourth round pick, and Miami's first round pick in 2022. And Miami gets the Eagles' fourth round pick back as well.
Yeah.
So basically, I mean, other than the extra compensation, the Dolphins went from #3 to #12, and they got 2 first round picks for their trouble, along with #12. Then they flipped their first round pick next year and the #12 pick to the Eagles to move back up to #6. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot of moving and shaking there. Your thoughts, Frank?
First of all, San Francisco moves up to #3. It seems pretty clear to me that they've had enough of Jimmy Garoppolo and they're looking for a quarterback. So, they'll probably take the quarterback of their choice at #3. That's what it says about San Francisco. It shows the trade with Miami shows that even though they moved back to 6, Miami seems comfortable with Tua to move out of that #3. I would assume they're not going to take a quarterback at 6. We'll see. And as far as the Eagles, I'm not sure what they plan on doing. Maybe they're going to, they're not done yet. I have a feeling they're not done yet. They're stockpiling picks, and so maybe they're looking to do something big, even possibly Deshaun Watson. They might still have their eyes on him. Whether that can happen is subjective, but yeah. So interesting to see all this movement go on.
Well, if the Eagles stay at 12, there's no way that doesn't signal to everybody that they really believe in Jalen Hurts and are going with him this year.
Yeah, you know, they picked up Flacco, so, you know, clearly, I don't really think they believe in Jalen Hurts. I think that they realized that pick was a mistake last year, and I think they're looking to bolster a quarterback. So that's why I feel they're not done yet, but that's to be seen yet.
No, sure. That is definitely a consideration, but, you know, they're definitely out of the range to get a quarterback if they're going to do it in the draft. And the big question is, it seems like at this point at least, the 2022 draft is going to be weak at the quarterback. This draft is strong at the quarterback position, mm-hmm. and in 2021, and it seems like 2022 is going to be weak at the quarterback position. So that would not be the draft to be setting yourself up to be a quarterback needy team.
Now, if the Eagles stay at 12, they might take, if he's still there, DeVonta Smith, wide receiver.
And we'll talk about that when we go over the mock.
But we'll see.
How do these trades impact the Chiefs?
It doesn't really. I mean, none of these teams can beat the Chiefs.
Okay, well, the just looking at this draft overall, the draft is very rich in wide receiver talent, and it's also very rich in offensive tackle talent. It's pretty deep in those two positions. It's not as deep as last year's draft was at the wide receiver position, but it's not far away. And it is much deeper at the offensive tackle position. You should be able to get a quality offensive tackle in the top three rounds, and probably a guy that can develop into a starter all the way through round four. So there's a lot of depth there at that. Just to, if you're not a draft nerd or draft Nick like me, just to give you a heads up, there's four quarterbacks that everybody's talking about, and there's probably going to be at least five quarterbacks taken in the first round this year. The overall number one, everybody assumes, is going to be Lawrence, the quarterback from Clemson. Everybody has him pegged going to the Jacksonville Jaguars at number one. Then the Jets at number two are a really big wild card. The Jets kind of control the draft because nobody knows what they're going to do. Do they still believe in Sam Darnold, or do they...
Darnold.
It's not Darnold. It's Darnold.
How much?
It's Travis Darnold. It's Sam Darnold.
Anyway, so are they going to move off him? Are they going to go in a different direction and draft a quarterback at the number two spot there? That's a big question mark because they have a new regime there, a new GM, a new head coach up there with the Jets right now. So what are they going to do? Or are they going to put the for sale sign out and take a king's ransom for the number two pick? And then at three now, the San Francisco 49ers sit there. And what are they going to do with that pick as well? Supposedly, all the so-called experts have different rankings for the next set of three quarterbacks. The next one usually talked about is the quarterback from Ohio State. The young man looked very good at some spots, a little bit Justin Fields, a little bit shaky in some games. He's got all the tools to be a quality NFL quarterback, but Ohio State doesn't exactly have the pedigree of putting a lot of quality quarterbacks in the NFL.
Neither does Alabama.
That's true. That's very true. Though Alabama has had more luck because at least they've put out there some pretty good backup quarterbacks. Yeah. Third quarterback everybody's talking about after Justin Fields is the quarterback from Brigham Young University, BYU, and his name is Zach Wilson. He had his pro day today, where basically that's where he goes out and he shows the scouts all his talents and abilities, and supposedly he looked fabulous at his pro day today, the way he played and moved around. There's a lot of people comparing him to the Greek god of the forward pass. A lot of people are pulling up a lot of similarities and a lot of analogies of being the next Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, well.
Hook, your thoughts on Zach Wilson?
I'd be shocked if Justin Fields went before him or even at the third quarterback off the board. But I heard that the Eagles were very interested in him, and when they realized they weren't going to get him is what made them trade back in the draft.
Then the guy that's kind of a big wild card because he's got some film that looks really good, but there's not a whole lot of it because he only played one game this past year, is the quarterback for North Dakota State, Trey Lance. So the four of them, Lawrence, Fields,
Wilson,
and Lance, are the four quarterbacks that everybody's talking about. And then the big question is, what do you do with the Alabama quarterback, Mac Jones? What do you do with him? Here's a guy everybody says, oh, but, you know, he had the very best receivers to throw to. He had NFL-caliber receivers to throw to. But if you watched him play, he really put the ball on the money an awful lot for those receivers to showcase their talent.
The comments I heard about that was, you know, he also had all day to do it, you know, because apparently they protect well and so on. So that's kind of the knock, right? Is that
I saw a quarterback that was able to slide around the pocket and buy himself extra time a lot. I'm not saying he
didn't. I'm just saying what the talking heads were saying.
I saw a quarterback that he's not a dual threat quarterback and that he's not a runner.
Right.
He's not a quarterback that's going to
seen a lot of those guys be successful in the NFL.
And that's the big question is, has the NFL evolved? Has the NFL changed to the point where a pocket passer is not an ideal Let's franchise see, quarterback.
Who won the Super Bowl last year?
Yeah.
So, Yeah, I mean, it has, where that's a thing that NFL teams want now in an offense they want to play.
Right.
But doesn't mean you can't win without it.
Hook, the NFL, we've all said for a long time, the NFL's a copycat league, and everybody's looking for, just like a few years ago, everybody was looking for any coach that had any connection to McVay, because what he, this offensive genius that he was and what he was able to do out there in LA. And now everybody wants to compare all these quarterbacks to Patrick Mahomes all the time because they want to get the next Patrick Mahomes. What's your take on the pocket passer versus the dual threat? Because we've seen Patrick Mahomes be very successful at both things. Sometimes playing as a pocket passer and other times playing as a dual threat and really putting pressure on a defense by using his legs.
It's the question. I don't think Patrick Mahomes is the poster boy for a dual threat. That would be a Lamar Jackson type person. Pat's a passer first and runs when there's nothing there and he has the opportunity. He's never looking to take the ball and run, and that's what more people more or less would call a dual threat. But I do think it's ironic because of all the criticism Patrick Mahomes got his first 2 years out of college that he was going to be a gunslinger and undisciplined and his style wouldn't translate and all these things, that now everyone's going to say, oh, we'll take this guy. He's just like Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Well, what happened to all the things you didn't like about Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I mean, to be fair, Patrick Mahomes didn't, and I'm not sure this is his fault, but he didn't have a winning record in college. His teams did a lot of losing, even though he stacked up an awful lot of gaudy stats in college, throwing multiple times for over 500 yards in games in college, you know, 6+ touchdowns and stuff, and yet his team would lose the game and stuff. And we saw an awful lot of quarterbacks from like universities like Hawaii and Houston and stuff like that that ran that run and shoot or spread offense that went out there and really put up all these gaudy numbers, but then they couldn't win, especially not in big games. I'm not saying that it branded Patrick Mahomes, but it did in the eyes of some scouts and stuff that he just put up all these stats, and the question was, would he be able to do that? And all hail to Andy Reid, all hail to the Chiefs and their front office and seeing what Patrick Mahomes has become, because they saw the diamond in the rough and they made the transition. And even in his rookie year, and that he got into the one game at the end of the year, his rookie year, and he even looked like a star then in that brief little glimpse that we saw as they were sitting Alex Smith to keep him healthy for the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes looked like he had full command of the offense even in that situation. So,
which is exactly my point, is that all the other Patrick Mahomes-like quarterbacks of the past have been bust.
True.
And so why do we now, that there is a Patrick Mahomes, assume everybody else is going to be a Patrick Mahomes and not the bust?
I think your point, though, Hookie, about him not being a runner first is an excellent point, because that's is the point here. Is he's an intelligent quarterback. He has a fantastic arm. He moves around really well in the pocket. Those are things you want in a quarterback.
But at the same time, two or three times a game, they do call a running play for him. They call an option play or something. Okay. And he does pitch the ball, you know, but it's his choice. They do call a running play that he runs. So that's why I believe he is a true dual threat, because he does put pressure on the defense.
Well, certainly is a dual threat, but just the point that he's more pass first and run first is a great point by Hookie, you know, because I think a lot of people get a perception that he is that prototypical running quarterback, but he's certainly so much more than that.
And Lamar, as you brought up, yes, he is a dual threat, but I see him much more as a runner. He's absolutely been much more successful as a runner than as a passer. And that's proven out against the Chiefs and several other teams, and especially in the playoffs.
I'd like to see Lamar Jackson with more weapons around him to receive the ball and see what happens. But I don't think it would change. I think he's still going to be running first and throwing second.
Regardless. Okay. Is there any free agent signings you guys want to talk about? Any teams coming up with some free agent signings in the NFL? Because the free agency period is already, the first wave is crested and gone and hit the shore. They're into that second wave now, which prices go down significantly. And with seemingly each passing day, the prices go down even more. And as players become desperate to have a job here in 2021. So, Hook, I saw that your team re-signed a certain defensive end and are excited about having him on the team again.
I mean, he's a fantastic defensive end. Yeah, I'm excited about it, sure.
Okay. That would be Taco Charlton.
I figured.
They re-signed him for the league minimum. He's getting, I think it's $875,000 minimum, but that's quite a minimum.
But they also gave him a Taco 12-pack, so...
So, yeah, Taco Charlton, former Bust, is again going to be employed with the Kansas City Chiefs again this year. The Chiefs have been relatively quiet. I thought they made a savvy move on their offensive line. Would you talk about that, please?
Which savvy move? Because they made two of them.
I think the gentleman who had opted out and filled out paperwork for retirement, coming out of retirement and signing with the Chiefs.
Kyle Long.
He was a real quality offensive lineman for the Bears for a long time.
Yep.
And didn't step away because of injury or anything.
He did in one sense. He wanted to get his body right. He didn't feel like he's playing full. But he was banged up and not playing to his full potential. So
I think the Chiefs signing him and not giving... They didn't exactly back up the Brinks truck to sign him either. And I think that was a really savvy move.
Yes, very savvy. Chiefs are savvy. That's what they do. They're a savvy team.
Okay. Frank, our Cowboys have gone out and signed a couple of safety guys brought over from some other teams, mm-hmm. not putting a whole lot of money into the position. But
one from Atlanta, which is where our defensive coach is coming from.
One from Aaron and Shauna's Detroit Lions, Javon Kearse.
Okay, right.
Bringing him in.
Javon what?
Kearse?
Whatever.
I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but it looks like...
I saw the sign.
It looks like Kearse to me.
Didn't
maybe
really
I'm
recognize
wrong.
The name, but shame on me. But I'll tell you, you mentioned the Cowboys. I'm thinking of our division, and I think the Giants did a good job in free agency. Signing Rudolph, the tight end from Minnesota, was probably a good move for them. Ingram has been inconsistent. And although Rudolph doesn't put up gaudy numbers, he's a good blocker, and I think he's a good fit there in the Giants.
Is the Rudolph deal officially done? Because I heard that there was a physical issue holding him.
Yes, he's going to have the surgery, and they're going to keep him. Yeah.
Think the Giants have severely overpaid for a couple of receivers.
I mean, you know, Galladay, however you say it, you could argue that was an overpayment. I would agree, but the one thing about that I could say is... Daniel Jones now has that number one guy, right? And they can, whatever you think of him, in their mind, he's a one receiver, right? And so you add him to the receivers they already have. Now Daniel Jones, you're going to really know what you have in him because he's got the weapons.
I think there's no concern with whether he's a number one talent. The concern is his injury. So if he can play all 17 or 18 games, I think they didn't necessarily overpay for him. But the question is, can he play that many games?
Injury and a little bit of inconsistency, right? Throwing interceptions and things like that. He's got the tools now, to me. I think they're going to continue to try and bolster their offensive line, and we'll see where it goes. The Giants already have a pretty good defense if they can...
Yeah, but they lost a couple of key pieces off that defense. They lost that stud linebacker that they found in free agency. They lost one of their safeties and one of their corners. So, you know, they lost some pretty...
That could hurt,
big pieces to their defense.
So. Yeah, I mean, Washington obviously got a really solid defense and...
the Beast of the East.
Yeah, and now who did they sign? Fitz, right? Fitzpatrick now. So I would say they're a dangerous team in the division. You know, the division still isn't, you know, the best division in football as we know it. But I thought the most significant thing in free agency was the fact that Tampa Bay kept all their players. You know, they just won the Super Bowl and they're coming back with the same 22 guys that started the Super Bowl. So I think that was significant for them. And so Tampa Bay is going nowhere for the moment unless we see a decline in Brady's ability, which could happen anytime.
Everybody keeps talking about Belichick and the Patriots and all the money that they've spent. And
they were pretty active.
How they've gone completely against their normal philosophy. I don't really see it as going against their normal philosophy. It's just they haven't had this kind of money to be able to spend.
Exactly.
In the past. So with the guys that are coming back from the COVID opt-outs, they should have a really nice team. I just really question the trigger man and what they've been able to do at quarterback.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see. I'd love to see Mac Jones, the quarterback for Alabama, get fall to 15 and be there when the Patriots draft.
It's been said that they're interested in him.
Yeah,
they feel like he's a fit there. So yeah, they're definitely not going to put all their eggs in one basket. It's almost Easter with Cam Newton. You know, they will this year, I'm sure. But yeah, I think it's almost definite that they're going to work their way to pick up a quarterback and probably the one they want, one way or another.
All right, so let's take a look at this mock draft real quick. Not spend a ton of time on the mock draft here, but yeah, just to throw out some names, get people familiar with some of these names and stuff as we get only 34 days away from the NFL draft.
Rich is very excited about the draft.
This is not your fantasy draft where you're going to take Lamar Jackson number one overall. No. So who are we drafting this year, Rich?
Hill.
Tyreek Hill. Yeah.
Okay, so in this one, the quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and 4 to respectively to Trevor Lawrence going to Jacksonville, the Jets taking Zach Wilson out of BYU, Justin Fields going to San Francisco, and then Trey Lance going number 4 overall. This mock has Denver trading up to number 4 to take Trey Lance in the Falcons spot.
They're definitely in the quarterback market, no question.
So, Denver. Yeah. Then Rashawn Slater, the offensive tackle, who this kid is not. He does have great size and athleticism, but what I love about him most is he's got a mean streak to him. He's the kind of guy that is he wants to not just beat you, he wants to dominate you. And he's got all the tools, and they have him going to Cincinnati at pick number 5 to protect their franchise quarterback that they got from LSU last year.
Yeah, that seems like a perfect pick.
So who needs protecting? So I think that's a great pick there. Then Kyle Pitts, the all-world tight end, going to Miami, number 5. Kyle Pitts is the all-world.
They have a pretty good tight end.
They do. They have Gesicki Penn State, and this mock has Kyle Pitts going there, who is going to be a mismatch nightmare in the NFL out of Florida. I watched several of his games, and
that doesn't apply anymore, right? Because they don't have the 5 pick anymore, do they?
Yeah, they do.
Dolphins have 6, don't they?
Yeah, no, 5 was Cincinnati.
Sorry, my bad.
6 was Pitts. Did I say that wrong?
No, you didn't. Okay. That was me.
Then number 7, they have Aaron and Shauna's Detroit Lions going after Jamar Chase, the wide receiver from LSU. I think he's the most talented wide receiver in this draft. He's the total package.
Makes speed. Sense after losing Galladay.
Yeah, speed, catch radius, jumping. I mean, he's just a beast out there. He didn't get to showcase his skills that much this year because he was the focal point of every defense. Then at number 8, this one surprised me a little bit. Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle out of Oregon, who is a Tyron Smith clone in a lot of ways. He is he's one of those guys that's an offensive tackle.
Hopefully he won't be injured as much.
Well, Tyron Smith had a really good run there for about 8 years without really any major injuries. And he doesn't look like an offensive lineman. Yeah, he's cut. There's no flab or fat to him. He's just power and just looks amazing. So 6'6", 330 there. They haven't projected going to Carolina. I think Carolina is one of those teams that wants to move. They want to move up. If now that with everything, all that Deshaun Watson has been accused of,
They need a quarterback.
They do need a quarterback, yeah. But they're one of the teams that wants to look to move up. In this mock, the Atlanta Falcons trade back again. They go back from number 9 back to number 15, and they trade with the New England Patriots, and the Patriots come up and take Mac Jones, the quarterback from Alabama. Then at number 10, the first defensive player goes off the board. That would be the Dallas Cowboys taking Patrick Surtain, the second, the cornerback from Alabama.
Seems like every mock draft has them.
Either him or the corner from Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm. Are definitely the two. A corner.
Caleb Farley, the corner from Virginia Tech. And that makes a lot of sense.
They lost to Louisier.
Right. They lost, Chido Awuzie. He signed with Cincinnati, and they're probably going to get a comp pick for him. They do need to balance the other side of their secondary.
They need to balance their whole defense.
Yes, but they think that they've made some strides that way.
I'm hoping so.
they've made some strides that way with some free agents and stuff and with a new defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. So I personally would like to see Dallas take an offensive tackle here with the shaky play that we've had at offensive tackle the last 2 years.
Take quarterback.
Got to address our defense.
I agree, but I think the depth at corner is better in the second and third rounds.
Okay.
But that's just me. If they take Patrick Surtain, I'm not going to be disappointed or upset.
Right.
Then they have the New York Football Giants taking the Penn State linebacker Micah Parsons at number 11. And then now sitting at number 12, they have the Philadelphia Eagles taking the unbelievably talented but oft-injured Jalen Waddle, the wide receiver out of Alabama, speed merchant, one of the fastest receivers in this draft. He's almost like Tyreek Hill in a lot of ways. He's only 5'10", but 182 pounds, not going to be able to sustain a lot of hits in the NBA and the NFL. Hoop, by the way, did you happen to see the video of Tyreek Hill playing basketball?
No.
Oh, please look that up on YouTube.
Slam dunking?
Yes, he is dunking, and he's only like 5'8", 5'9". And he's up. He's skying up there and just destroying people, dunking on a full size basketball court.
An incredible athlete, really.
Yeah, it's quite impressive. Then we can keep going here. They have Washington taking the offensive tackle out of Virginia Tech, and I think that'd be a pretty solid pick for them.
Yeah.
They have.
There's a couple of them, Dan. Which one do you want to watch?
I don't know. I just saw one of them. They project at number 31 the Kansas City Chiefs to take Jalen Mayfield, an offensive tackle out of Michigan, 6'5", 320. They say Kansas City has upgraded the middle of their offensive line, and they need someone to block the edge. Okay. So,
turn the sound down. Good job.
So, what do you think, Hook, about the potential of a
Dan, how many things do you want me to do at once here? You still watch the Tyreek Hill video.
Okay.
So I watch the Tyreek Hill video, and you're questioning me about other things.
And then they have here they end up with Jason Owen, the defensive end out of Penn State, going to the Super Bowl champions. I ran past. I saw Matt Goshevsky, our resident Buffalo Bills fan, and he seemed excited at the idea of Ozeez Olawari, a defensive end out of Georgia, going to his Buffalo Bills to put pressure on quarterbacks.
The Bills are due.
So, yes, that is his fantasy football name. So,
what about Kansas City? I'm sorry.
They are projected to take an offensive tackle.
Yeah. So he seems to think that they shored that whole thing up.
Yeah, I don't think they'll take an offensive tackle there.
From Michigan? What positions do you see them looking for in the draft?
Wide receiver.
Really?
Hey, yes. You mentioned somebody taking a linebacker from Penn State. I heard somebody...
Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I heard somebody say today on one of the shows, because I listen to a lot of sports radio, he said, well, Penn State isn't really... linebacker U anymore, because they used to be known for that. It seemed like every time a linebacker came high in the draft from Penn State, they turned out to be a big star. What's your feeling on that, since I don't follow college that close?
Well, Micah Parsons has all the talent to be the next linebacker U prospect. Okay. He is very, very talented.
What? 4.3 40?
Yes, he's very fast, very strong, very powerful. But... there are two big question marks about Micah Parsons. First of all, he got into some trouble, is he going to make good decisions on and off the field for you and be the kind of player that your franchise is going to be? He's going to be an asset or a liability to your franchise.
We could use a good linebacker, that's all I know.
Secondly, the second question about Micah Parsons is Micah Parsons loves what football has done for him, but does Micah Parsons really love football?
Okay.
And that's a big question, especially when you're taking someone in the upper part of the first round of a draft.
Who did you have him going to? Do you remember?
They had him going to the New York Football Giants at number 11. One pick behind Dallas.
If he's that good, though, I don't want him there. I know that.
He is uber talented, but I remind you, there's the Penn State had a linebacker probably about 15 years ago, maybe a little longer than that, who was unbelievably talented, who's now doing sports radio on the weekend. So, yeah, I was going to get there. But, yeah, he's doing sports radio on the weekends.
And good at it, too.
He is. He is very entertaining to listen to. But he didn't really love football. He loved what football did for him, and it just showed when he got to the pros. Because he seemed to be an athlete that didn't really put his whole heart and soul.
His big years were in Washington, right?
Correct. He got drafted by Washington and then played for a couple cups of coffee for a couple other teams. But by the time he got out of Washington, he was really banged up and very injury prone. Yeah. So I hope that doesn't happen to Micah Parsons unless he ends up in our division. Please explain why you think the Chiefs need wide receiver help.
They've tried multiple times in free agency to bring in a wide receiver and it hasn't worked out yet. They definitely need someone opposed to Tyreek Hill who does not run the wrong routes like Mecole Hardman. And Sammy Watkins signed with Baltimore today.
Mm. Yes, he did, but don't you think with the 1-2 punch of Kelsey, I'm such an idiot. But the
Travis with Kelsey.
I'm just asking. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. I thought I said the wrong one, but
Jason
I said the
Kelsey?
Right one.
Travis Kelsey.
I said the right one. Yeah. So between Kelsey and Hill, that they do a good job of balancing the field and that if you try to roll your coverage towards Hill, then Kelsey's going to be one-on-one with somebody over the middle or a crossing route. Whereas if you try to bring your defense up to try to take that away, that Hill can sneak behind with his speed and quickness. So what kind of receiver do you think you're looking for on the other side?
We're looking for somebody who doesn't run the wrong routes like Mecole Hardman did in the Super Bowl.
Hmm.
So
okay.
We need Pat to know where his receivers are at.
Okay. Field, so. Well, I'm just thinking, are you looking for a size receiver that's going to be a chain mover? Are you looking for someone that's going to be more of a slot guy? Or are you looking for like a speed merchant?
Oh, we'll take all that. Yeah.
You know, Reed's never has enough speed on his team.
Okay.
So.
No, because like those are usually your three different categories. So usually a chain moving possession receiver is usually a bigger guy that's not got a whole lot of speed, but really good catch radius.
Can box out and so
good
on.
Good hands and good catch radius. Usually a slot receiver is a smaller guy, but who's incredibly quick and runs a lot of the crossing routes and things like that and makes moves. I think Cole Beasley, mm-hmm. when I think slot guy. When I think of a speed merchant, I think of a guy like Tyreek Hill that is always a threat to get behind you and burn you for a really big play. Or DeSean Jackson was always really good at that as well. So those are usually the three different kind of categories you get of receivers.
Sure, but you actually watch him play. Tyreek Hill is all three of those.
Exactly.
He's been their possession one. He's been their burner. He's been their slot receiver. He's an incredible route runner, mm-hmm. along with just, the speed is a big thing you know with him. So I don't think they're looking for one of those qualities.
Okay. All right. That's fine. I was just wondering what your thoughts there on that. All right. So that's our take on the NFL and the NFL draft, just 34 days away. Looking forward to counting that down and excited to get to an establishment of our choice where we will be watching the draft together, hopefully.
That'd be great.
Without any further ado, I'm going to turn it back over to my friend Frank.
I want to tell you about our church, First Baptist Church. We're at 810 Red School Lane, Phillipsburg, New Jersey. Right, Rich?
Yep.
Rich is looking at me to see if I'm looking at the paper. So, Pastor Tim, he's our lead pastor, and I like the way Pastor Tim starts the sermons most of the time. He said, look, if what I have to say up here doesn't line up with what the Bible says, then it doesn't mean a whole lot. So if you're looking for a church where you're going to hear the true word from Scripture, that would be our church. But we're more than that. We're also a church of loving people. So check us out. We're in person, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock on Sunday, as I said, at 810 Red School Lane in Pieburg. And we also have an option for you to go online, though, in case you're not comfortable in person. We do have all the protocols in place, for social distancing and so on at the church. So we'd love to see you in person. But if you wanted to watch online, maybe they could just get a feel for us that way. You can go to either Facebook Live. You just go on Facebook, you punch in the name of our church, First Baptist Church, Phillipsburg, and it'll pop up, and you can watch the service there. Or you can go on YouTube and do the same and check us out. So we'd love to see you there, 9 o'clock or at 11 o'clock on Sunday. Check us out.
Cool beans. Yeah, we want to shout out our church. Thank you to our church leadership, Pastor Tim, Pastor Doug, Pastor John, all the all people, especially Allie Goshevsky and all the hard work she does working with the kids. Mm-hmm. And next Sunday being Easter Sunday, obviously we're having a coming home for Easter. So we'd love to have as many people as possible.
Good Friday within service.
Within reason and within the protocols for taking all the precautions and everything for COVID and keeping everyone safe.
Yeah, we should be fine.
We're having a lovely service on Good Friday and then two services on Easter Sunday. So we'd really love to see you come out and celebrate the Resurrection Sunday.
And the way you can check all this out, you can go online and check our church. It's www.fbcpeaburg.org. www.fbcpeaburg.org. And you can see all these events on the site. Check us out.
Okay, so anyway, I want to say thank you to Hook for being here with us and making time to do this with us.
Yeah, thank you. God Hook, he was here.
You're welcome.
Thank you to Rich for pushing all the buttons and sliding all the slides and making us look and sound good. It's best
you
we can.
You always say look, like nobody can see
even
us.
Though, even though his sister still has an email. Thanks, Rich. I always want to thank my friend Frank. For being my friend and for doing this this podcast with us.
It is a burden, but I still come anyway.
Well, I appreciate you.
I love being here, brother.
So, all right. So without any further ado.
May the love of Christ fill your heart.
Peace!
Football, baseball, tennis, basketball, even sports exotic.
Oh.
You geek guys in soccer, and if it's a sport, they've got it.
Yeah.
They have weird conversations about anything they think.
Oh.
They have so much in common, it's like their brains are in sync.
Twins.
We got Fox with the jokes. We got Frank with the knowledge.
Oh.
They care about all ages. They talk about pro league and college.
Is.
They have that high quality content talking about the teams with their big boy shoes and their big boy dreams on.
Yeah, you know who it is. Sports Fellowship. Number one. Follow Fox and Frank now.